before we say goodbye. Sometimes you're the windshield, sometimes you're the bug, sometimes it all comes together, baby. Sometimes you're a fool in love, sometimes you're the Louisville slugger, baby. Sometimes you're the ball, sometimes it all comes together, baby.
This is a special report from ABC News. Georgia high school shooting. I'm Michelle Franzen. Police in Winder, Georgia, is still investigating an active shooter situation earlier at the Appalachie High School, about an hour outside of Atlanta. The FBI, Georgia's Bureau of Investigations, and local and state police still going through the school after students were evacuated. One person is in custody. ABC's Aaron Katursky on what we know.
We're told there are casualties, although the exact number and their conditions have not been made clear to us. One of the local hospitals we've been in touch with says they're treating at least one gunshot victim, so it does appear that at least one person was shot at this high school.
About 1,900 students attend that school. Barrow County Sheriff Judd Smith, a short time ago, says the lockdown at the high school has been lifted.
We're in the process of reunifying our students with their parents. Obviously, that's chaotic, but we want to be respectful of them and their privacy as well.
This is ABC News. Pope Francis continuing his 12-day trip across the Asia-Pacific region.
Pope Francis appearing to be in good spirits, joking with the Indonesian president, and seen laughing with over 200 Jesuit priests. The Pope later held a Q&A with children, a couple asking about bullying. The Pope saying, in our differences, we can choose war or dialogue. We must always choose dialogue. This comes as the Pope's message here in Indonesia focuses on how different religions can peacefully coexist. Inez de la Quatera, ABC News, Jakarta. Indonesia.
Social media platform X has launched a TV app. XTV is aiming to compete with services like YouTube by offering a range of live channels, including news, sports, and movies. A new study about the time we spend in traffic finds that most U.S. cities are back to their pre-pandemic levels of congestion. The average driver spending 42 hours or a whole work week stuck in traffic every year. The worst is New York City. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Mom, meet Sarah.
From first time Nana moments.
Yeah, welcome to Flight 101.
To annual girls trip moments. Your can't miss moments are worth protecting against RSV. If you're 75 or older or 60 plus with a chronic condition like asthma, COPD, heart disease, or severe diabetes, you're at higher risk of landing in the hospital from RSV. And there are no prescription RSV treatments. Check eligibility and schedule your RSV vaccine at vaxassist.com.
So where should we go next?
Sponsored by Pfizer.
She posted about us just now.
Celebrities can't get enough of Bianna's bespoke skincare line.
She has 147 million followers. How do we monetize?
She needs a social media associate to help her with the hype.
We should repost this. Do we need a hashtag?
Indeed can help her hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. You can schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from your employer dashboard. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Wisconsin Radio Network News. I'm Ted Ayler. A Wisconsin lawmaker wants the Green Bay Packers and the NFL to reconsider their game in Brazil. Republican State Representative John Mako hopes the league will choose carefully when selecting other foreign countries to host games in the future.
I think they would want to make sure that they are entertaining a country that would have the shared values and principles that they would have. I think it's stunning to me that if just for the sake of market share, just for the sake of expanded TV viewership and ad revenue, that they would be willing to do business anywhere.
Mako cites several issues, including censorship, unrest, and escalating violence, for why the game should be moved back to the U.S. The Packers are scheduled to take on the Philadelphia Eagles Friday night in Sao Paulo. President Joe Biden will be in western Wisconsin Thursday. The White House says the president's stop in Westby, just outside of La Crosse, will have Biden highlighting his policies to lower prescription drug costs and encourage renewable energy and advanced manufacturing. Biden's trip will be his first to Wisconsin since stepping down from the Democratic presidential nomination. He's made several previous visits to the state already this year. Kids around Wisconsin are back in school this week.
And Wisconsin law enforcement agencies are asking drivers to keep those kids in mind by being alert and cautious, putting down the phone, obeying posted speed limits, and sharing the road with young pedestrians. According to research by the National Safety Council, Most of the children who lose their lives in school bus-related incidents are 4 to 7 years old, and they're walking. In addition to stopping for buses with their stop arm extended, motorists should always stop for a school patrol officer or crossing guard holding up a stop sign. Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
The people at your Touchstone Energy Cooperative wear many hats. Your customer service rep might also coach at the local middle school. Or some of our line workers are also volunteer firefighters. It's true. We take pride in serving our members. That's why you'll find us helping out in our community. Because we not only work here, we live here.
Riverland Energy, your Touchstone Energy Cooperative, your source for power and information.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. High pressure system continues to hold today, giving us sunny skies and still summery highs flirting with 80 degrees. And tomorrow, a cold front drops through the state, bringing showers and maybe a thunderstorm. Either way, behind it, high temperatures fall to the mid-60s. Looking for a great place to live, stay, shop, and play? It's easy to get to Worthington, Minnesota, and it's worth a look. It's 70 degrees at our studios.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Duran Mondovia, Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
Farmers' expectations about how their businesses will perform in the year ahead. We'll get the details of that. And we'll get crop reports from Illinois and Iowa and check the attitudes of Stephen Dennis on this week's Farmer Forum.
Live from the trailhead at the foot of Hump Day via Farm Journal Studios, this is AgriTalk. This morning we'll begin with a conversation with Dr. Jim Mintert from Purdue University. Then it's our weekly Farmer Forum with panelists Steve Pitstick and Dennis Bogards. I'm a handsome newsman, Davis Michelson. Now, say hello to the host of AgriTalk, Jeff Flory.
You know what else is handsome?
What?
66 degrees.
Ooh, that does sound nice.
Oh, yeah. Man. I'm telling you, 66 Ooh. Degrees in northeast Iowa. It is fantastic. Mm-hmm, we've still got a little ways to go to get to the high, but I'm telling you, it is beautiful out there right now. Welcome to AgriTalk. Glad that you are joining us on this Wednesday morning. Davis, how's things look down your way?
72 degrees Fahrenheit and sunny here in Kansas City, USA. It's cool enough that I've broken out my collection of fur-lined Speedos. I don't know if I'll need it quite yet, but I want to be ready.
Yeah, you got to have them ready to go. I guess that would be right. Is there such a thing? I'm not even going to say. You know, maybe a holiday, a Halloween themed Speedo, something like that.
Let me tell you something. Every day that I wear a Speedo is Halloween. Okay, brother.
Oh, you're going as Michael Phelps again?
A little bit, yep, again.
Yeah, again.
I've already got the suit. Yeah.
Wow. Okay, so attitudes have soured a bit from last month when, or I should say during August, because of the slide in commodity prices, and we're going to get the details of what farmers are telling Dr. Jim Mintert in their monthly Ag Economy Barometer survey. Jim's the director of the Center for Commercial Ag at Purdue University. Looking forward to that conversation, as I do every month with Jim. So looking forward to getting him in here. Then we got the Farmer Forum coming up. Steve over in northern Illinois. Dennis in south central Iowa. So they've got a crop down there in south central Iowa that we got to talk about. That's for sure.
Very good.
All right, man. Let's get to the news.
Sure thing. The National Weather Service is expecting excessive heat to impact the southwestern United States through much of California and into coastal Oregon and Washington today into the weekend. Excessive heat watches and warnings and heat advisories have been issued. The potential for heavy to excessive rainfall will shift across the Gulf Coast from west to east today through Friday.
Holy smokes, those rains down in Texas, some of them are just absolutely torrential. They've got flooding happening down there that hasn't happened in decades.
Yeah.
So, wow, we're thinking about you down there. Be safe.
Well, I've got a crop progress report highlights from the USDA's crop progress and condition update as of Sept 1. Corn 65% good to excellent, steady with the previous week. 90% dough, steady with average. 60% dented, 19% mature. That 19% mature is 6 percentage points ahead of average. Soybeans 65% good to excellent, another decline there weekly. Last week was 67%. 94% setting pods, 13% dropping leaves. Spring wheat is 70% harvested. That's right in line with the average. And cotton, 44% good to excellent. That's up from 40% last week. We've got 95% setting bolls and 37% bolls opening compares to 31% on average.
Yep, everything seems to be moving along just on an expected pace. That corn crop up in the northern areas, some of the South Dakota corn crop, because remember, when we went through there, we were looking at basically three different crops. You had the crop that was planted on time, late planted crop, and then the replanted crop. So that replanted crop needs some time to finish. And there's the crop in southern Minnesota, just kind of across the board, it needs a little bit extra time to finish this year. So it's okay, but we got to keep an eye on the forecast at the same time.
Yep. Well, Chip, farmer sentiment has declined. The Purdue University CME Group Ag Economy Barometer fell in August, reflecting growing concerns among farmers. And, of course, the biggest reason will be brought to us by Dr. Jim Mintert in the upcoming segment there.
Exactly.
Major U.S. stock indices notched their worst day since August 5 yesterday. A disappointing economic report dragged down equities. The report on manufacturing showed a fifth consecutive month of declines, fueling concern that aggressive rate hikes from the Federal Reserve have inflicted too much damage on the economy. The union representing East and Gulf Coast dock workers is meeting in New Jersey for 2 days of wage negotiations with port employers under the looming threat of a strike that could disrupt trade from Houston to Boston. Talks between the International Longshoremen's Association and the United States Maritime Alliance have stalled since June, affecting nearly 45,000 workers.
Okay, as I understand it, if a strike happens, it will impact containerized shipping the most. But will workers on cargo bulk vessels, will they show support for the containerized workers with some sort of a work slowdown? You know, that's something that is being talked about at this time.
Yep. The Biden administration is urging Congress to include several key provisions in a stopgap funding bill to avoid a government shutdown on October 1st. The requests include additional funds for Navy shipbuilding, preparation for the presidential transition, and extended benefits for Ukrainian refugees. Chinese electric vehicle maker BYD has postponed plans for a major factory investment in Mexico, opting to wait for the outcome of the U.S. presidential election. BYD had been exploring several locations for a car production facility, but shifting American policy under either Donald Trump or Kamala Harris has led the company to adopt a wait-and-see approach. I think they're not alone in that, Chip.
Yeah, I don't think they're alone in that at all, no doubt.
Eurozone business activity received a boost from France hosting the Olympic Games last month, but the malaise in the bloc is likely to return once the Paralympics wraps up as demand remains weak.
Yeah, you know, we used to watch out for the Olympic curse.
Yep.
When, you know, 4 or 5 years following the Olympics is when some of these economies that the country's hosting would start to fall apart. And I mean, it's been going on for a while now. I don't think that's expected in France, but something to watch.
Well, Chip, Molson Coors has joined the growing list of companies that are ending some of their diversity, equity, and inclusion, that's DEI, program policies amid a social media backlash. The maker of Miller and Coors Light beers announced that it is working to evolve its culture from a primarily DEI focus to a broader view where all employees are welcomed. And finally here, Chip, China is reportedly considering cutting interest rates on as much as $5.3 trillion in mortgages in two steps to lower borrowing costs for millions of families while mitigating the profit squeeze on its banking system.
Yeah, there's more than one ways to stimulate the housing and in any economy, and China's taking one approach to it. That's a little different than just saying, hey, we're going to give first-time home buyers a $25,000 credit to go out there and buy their first home, use that as the down payment. Anyway, okay, we've got the ag economy to talk about. We're going to do that with Dr. Jim Mintert next here on AgriTalk.
Every year, humic loss makes it harder for crops to absorb applied nutrients. Resurge from Helena is a low-dust granule that delivers humic compounds to improve nutrient uptake and plant growth. The Resurge granule's superior hardness and uniformity withstands pneumatic applications, allowing for even distribution in your fertilizer and across the acre. Energize your soil and elevate your crops. Contact your Helena representative to learn more. Always follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
Want to get smarter and have some fun while you're at it? Introducing Unscripted and Grow Getters, two of agriculture's most entertaining and engaging podcasts. Hosted by U.S. Farm Report's Tyne Morgan and Ag Day's Clinton Griffiths, Unscripted is your chance to meet the personalities behind the personalities. And with heart and humor, Grow Getters with host Davis Michelson explores ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you a farmer stressing about grain prices? Ready to boost your bottom line without sacrificing performance? Meet Meltdown by BW Fusion, the original nutrient release product trusted for decades and used on millions of acres. Meltdown breaks down crop residue and releases P and K nutrients. Start seeing cost savings and crop productivity in your first year. Transform residue into revenue with Meltdown. Visit bw-fusion.com/meltdown or call 888-429-3874.
Protecting your nitrogen is smart. And the nitrogen granule with a polymer coating that releases in response to conditions that promote plant growth? Well, that's me. I'm the environmentally smart nitrogen granule that gives the nutrition crops need when they need it, reducing nitrogen loss and increasing nutrient availability. Imagine feeding me to your fields. Me. Now, wait a minute. Hey, can I rethink this? ESN Environmentally Smart Nitrogen Fertilizer. Learn more at smartnitrogen.com.
Are you prepared?
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit WICorn.org and become a member today.
Well, now, which would you rather have? World-class seed genetics and traits, or seed that's been tested and proven to yield in your area? Well, with Pioneer, you get both, plus the support of a dedicated local team. For the unbeatable combination of elite seed genetics, local knowledge and insights, and rigorous local testing, contact the team at Bowers Seeds and Service, your local authorized Pioneer sales representative serving the Durand area. At Pioneer, our name is our mission, and what's next happens here.
AgriTalk is brought to you by ESN. Don't risk your nitrogen investment. ESN is designed to beat the five ROI killers and provide season-long end to your crop. Learn how ESN works at smartnitrogen.com.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. Each month, the fine people at the Center for Commercial Ag at Purdue University, that would be Dr. Jim Mintert, Dr. Michael Langemeyer, along with some help from the CME Group, put together a survey of farmer attitudes. We get to talk about it each week in the Purdue University CME Group Ag Economy Barometer with Dr. Jim Mintert, and he joins us again right now. Jim, it's good to talk to you again. How are you?
Very good. Great to be back on the show, Chip.
Yep. Glad you're here. Glad you're here, especially on this one, because this one is kind of – now, I'm going to say that it's kind of an eye-popper, but at the same time, Jim, when you were on last month, we kind of predicted a watch out for next month, didn't we? And it came to fruition.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, last month, when we say last month, the July survey was kind of an anomaly because we saw an uptick or an improvement in sentiment. And yet you and I both knew, and producers responding to the survey knew that incomes were not going to be great, right? We were already looking at weak crop prices. We had strong yields. That was a positive, but weak crop prices and potentially weak income levels forecast for the rest of this year and in 2025. So that was, you know, where we talked about the fact that we were collected data in July, the same time as the Republican National Convention. Yep. I still think that that influenced responses that we picked up that week. Yep. But if you look at this month's survey, the Ag Economy Barometer dropped 13 points to 100. We're down 15 points compared to last year. I think that reflects reality, what's out there. People are feeling the heat with respect to weak income levels projected here, even with record yields on many farms, weak income levels, and looking at prospects for a weak year in 2025 as well.
Right. Okay. So the overall barometer index is at 100. What is that 100?
Yeah, that's a great question. We started collecting data in the fall of 2015, and we used the first 6 months of data collection, so the fourth quarter of 2015, first quarter of 2016, as our base period. That means that if you take the observations that we have over those 6 months and average them, you'll come out by definition to a reading of 100. So when we get a sentiment reading this month of 100, that implies that sentiment now is about the same as it was in late 2015, early 2016. And that's important because your listeners remember that was not a great time in U.S. agriculture. We had very good incomes from about 07, 08 up through 2013. 2014 was kind of a transition year. And by the time we got to 2015 and early 16, we were in the midst of what turned out to be a multi-year downturn. So having sentiment now back to where it was then tells me, or at least suggests to me, that people are worried about the possibility of a multi-year downturn in U.S. agriculture.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay. What is topping the list of concerns? It's got to be the commodity prices.
Well, almost, but not quite. So we started asking a question that says, looking at the next year, what are your biggest concerns for your farming operation? We've been asking that consistently since January of 23. And month after month after month, people tell us their number one concern is high input cost. Okay. That was still true this month. Okay. But the shift, and this is what I think you were alluding to, Chip, is more and more people are telling us their top concern is lower crop and livestock prices. A year ago, one out of five people chose that as a top concern. This month, it was chosen by 3 out of 10, 30% of the people in the survey. It almost eclipsed that high input cost. 33% of the people in the survey chose high input cost. So those two are now running neck and neck, and that was not true a year ago.
Right. Okay. Yeah, and it's at some point, they will begin to anticipate that a low has been put in. Maybe it's going to happen for the next report, the next survey. They'll anticipate that a low has been put into the commodity prices. And if they start to work up a bit, well, maybe that'll raise the optimism just a bit out there. So what, in any of other concerns out there that need to be mentioned because they can be managed?
Well, people are worried about their farm's financial performance. That showed up big time this month. I think our reading on that one was 72. That's the lowest reading I think we've ever gotten on that farm financial performance question. We'd ask people, you know, how do you think your farm's going to perform financially this year compared to last year? And they're telling us bad or certainly weak. Farm capital investment index is very weak. I think it tied the all-time low. So people are telling us this is not a good time to make capital investments in our farming operation. And from a management perspective, that's exactly what I'd recommend people do is pull back on that CapEx as a means to kind of manage your way through what's going to be a significant downturn here. You know, I think the cautionary part of this survey is we're really picking up some softness in farmland value expectations.
Okay.
That short-term farmland value expectation index had a reading of 105. That's as low as we've been since the COVID days back in 2020. And that's that could be a little bit of a concern going forward.
Well, you know, asking that question about what farmers think about the value of farmland going forward, it's almost the same as asking what their outlook is for the future, right? because they understand that that's going to how the financial performance is going to be reflected in those farmland values.
That's right. And so the way that index is put together, when you get to a reading of 105, that means a few more people said they thought values would go up than said it was going to go down. Okay. But not very many. In fact, when you look at the raw responses to that question, we saw a spike in the percentage of people who said they think farmland values could actually weaken in the next 12 months. This month, that was 24% of the people in the survey. That was a jump of 11 points compared to last month. And if you look at the two percentages, 29% said they think values are going to go up over the next 12 months. 24% said they think it's going to go down over the next 12 months. So those two are getting pretty close to being neck and neck. And if they're equal, that's when that index would hit 100. That's a little bit concerning. And I think it does suggest, you, if you look at the chart, you can see that there has been less and less confidence in farmland values going up over the next 12 months relative to where we were, say, 2 and 3 years ago. So it doesn't indicate necessarily that values are going to go down over the next 12 months. But, boy, we've got a lot less confidence in them going up than we had previously.
Right. Well, the index is off 40 points from the peak back in 22, right?
That's about right, yeah.
Yeah. That's a dramatic move, no doubt about it. But it's a whole lot better than what it was in, when we were dealing with some COVID issues and back in 2020. It's still well above those levels, but who knows? This is going to be an important one to watch for us going forward. What's it mean for rental rates, Jim?
Yeah, so the interesting thing is, despite all the negativity you and I have just been talking about, 2 months in a row we've asked this question, compared to 2024, what are your expectations for cash rents in your area in 2025? 2 months in a row, 70 and 72% of the people have told us that they expect to see cash rental rates stay about the same. And I have to say, that's pretty consistent with our research. My colleague Michael Langemar has looked at this more carefully than I have. But going back to 1960, it normally takes at least a couple of years of negative or weak returns. I'll say weak, not negative, weak returns to farmland before you see it reflected in an adjustment in cash rental rates. That would imply that we might see some weakness, not so much in 2025, but perhaps in 2026. And of course, that means we're still kind of squeezed in terms of our ability to reduce our break evens, because that's what's really worrying people, right? If we got low commodity prices, I've got to reduce my break evens. How am I going to do it? It's going to be tough with those cash rental rates staying about where they are, but that puts some pressure on everything else.
Yep. Yeah, that's a piece of information that, if you know, I don't mean to pit the landowners against the tenants out there, or tenants against landowners. But if you've got that piece of information and you walk in and sit down with the landowner to negotiate rental rates for next year, it's a piece of information that might influence that conversation, right?
Well, it could. And the other thing to think about is, this is the kind of environment where you start talking to landowners potentially about some kind of a situation where maybe if things turn out, I need a break because of high break-even cost. If you give me a break, if things turn out better than expected, I'll provide a bonus payment, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Those are the kind of conversations I would encourage people to have. It's kind of like, okay, let's think about some way that we can share what's taking place both on the negative side and on the positive side. And I think that makes for a friendlier conversation.
Absolutely. Man, good stuff. Great perspective, Jim. Thank you so much. I certainly appreciate it, and look forward to the conversation again next month.
Thank you, Chip, and yeah, I look forward to it as well.
All right. That is Dr. Jim Mintert, Director of the Center for Commercial Ag at Purdue University. We got the Farmer Forum coming up next here on AgriTalk.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids,
visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive. Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
Dairy farmers, extend the life of your investment and keep the milk inspector happy when you resurface your mangers, feed bunks, feed carts, and more with a microepoxy surface from Osteoplastics and Supply. The microepoxy surface provides for easier cleaning of feed bunks, less feed waste, offers a non-skid surface, and withstands extreme temperatures and chemicals. You can repair your floors and equipment for less than replacing, and the increased milk production will pay for the installation. Find out more. Visit osteoplastics.com.
Milk markets are mostly lower with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins. At the Mercantile Exchange, October milk down 5 to 23.20, November up 1 to 22.79, December down 5 to 21.89, January milk down 2 at 20.71. Meanwhile, live cattle markets mostly higher, feeder cattle are moving up mostly lower. Now we are seeing some profit taking, especially in the feeder cattle markets, as the trade still kind of want to see what's going to happen with those cash markets, but the live cattle markets extending the buying interest from the big gains yesterday due to the higher boxed beef prices. Hog markets higher in the nearby month, but lower in deferreds on that profit taking. October live cattle up 7 cents to 179.35. September feeder cattle down $1.12 to 240.25. October hogs up 27 cents to 82.80. Chicago Board of Trade, corn, soybeans, and wheat are all slightly higher today, as USDA still lowering the soybean crop conditions by 2% yesterday. They kept the corn conditions ratings steady, but there's still some of that hot, dry weather that could affect the very end of the growing season. USDA will release its first harvest progress number coming up next week. September corn up 1.25 to 387.75. New crop 25 up 0.5 to 445.5. New crop 25 beans up 3.5 to 1060.5. September wheat in Chicago now up 2.75 to 554.75.
Whether you have a large animal or a small one, the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley can keep them healthy. With top-notch veterinary care, plus boarding and grooming services, the Animal Wellness Center keeps your pet happy. And they specialize in chiropractic care to keep your large animals moving. Make an appointment by calling 715-926-3836. The patients come first at the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley, located in the Mondovi Industrial Park, your complete traditional and holistic veterinary care clinic.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel, if you're not into the whole added power thing. Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. The best talkers in ag, including you. Join the conversation on AgriTalk. Call us at 855-4-TALK-AG.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. It's a Wednesday morning. That means it's time for this week's Farmer Forum. And joining us right now, Steve Pitstick over in Northern Illinois. Steve, how are you?
Hey, Chip. Good to hear from you. It's been a long time. I'm doing well.
Good, good, good. Great. How's, boy, the expectations are high for that Illinois crop. How are things looking at Pitstick Farms?
Cautiously very optimistic.
Okay.
Things are looking real good. We actually started some soybeans. My brother started some on Monday, and they're okay. Slightly above APH, we'll say.
When I heard the smile on your face there, I'm guessing they're a little bit more than slightly above APH.
Well, we'll just say at this point, we'll just say they're slightly above. cautiously optimistic.
What made it so good? What made the growing season so good for you?
So, right here in the spot I'm in, we just had a perfect year. We started planting in the middle of April. We missed the big rains of spring. It rained every time it was supposed to. We had heat during the vegetative stage in June, advanced the crop, and then a perfect August to make babies, if you will. So Everything's come together. It's the way you plant it in January. This year it actually happened for us.
Very cool. So it did not surprise you much when you saw that 225 for an Illinois state average corn yield that USDA showed us in the August crop production report, did it?
Yeah, it's a big state. You know, we're really good here. On the old Xbox, you don't see much complaints like you do some years. Yep. So right there was enough to tell me that, it was going to be a good crop.
Yep. The thing that has impressed me so much about this year's crop, Steve, is here at the end, I don't see a lot of disease. I don't see a lot of weed. I don't see a lot of the things that can eat away at yield late in the season. And that just means the crop's holding on to it. Isn't that right?
Yeah, we've got a little bit of tar spot showing up now, but the corn is just about black layer, so it's going to have very minimal impact. For us, the real benefit was missing those big rains in May and June and depleting into that nitrogen or limiting oxygen. That's what got us through the year and helping us with the big crop.
Gotcha. Okay. All right, let's bring in Dennis Bogards down in South Central Iowa. South Central's the right way to describe it, isn't it, Dennis?
Yeah, I suppose we're that's pretty close. We're about 45 miles southeast of Des Moines, so that's South Central is usually what I say.
Dude, you got a good one down there again this year, don't you?
Well, yeah, I was just listening to Steve talk about his crop and his season, and we had a lot of similar things that Steve talked about in the good weather and stuff, but we did get hit with the two big rain events, one just a little over 10 inches and another one of like 6 or 7, I think, and about a month apart or so. And so, I think that might have limited us a little bit on some of the corn yields, just because there was that 10-inch rain. There was just a lot of water standing in the field, and we had to replant some beans in the river bottoms and stuff like that. But other than those two events, man, we just had a good season. It was dry. We got in early, got everything planted by kind of late April, and just really has been a really good season. So we could have limited those two rains to a 2-inch rain rather than a 10-inch and a 7-inch. I think we'd have been hitting a home run, but we might hurt us a little bit, but it looks pretty good out there.
Good. How close are the beans?
The real short season early planted stuff is probably two weeks away, and there's a lot of stuff that's probably going to be three or more yet before they get rolling on it. So I think I haven't seen anybody doing anything in, or even any fields that are remotely close yet. I'd say at least 2 weeks before there's anything coming out of the field. So.
Okay. All right, guys. So we just got off the phone with Dr. Jim Minter talking about the Ag Economy Barometer and that sentiment index. It showed us that the biggest concern on the crop production side is it's led by the high cost of inputs, but concern over the potential for lower commodity prices is also a concern, or it was back in the middle of August. When you look at your business, let's start with Pitstick. Number one, how optimistic are you? Number two, what are the biggest challenges that you got to manage?
So I've been doing this a long time, and I think you got to be an eternal optimist to keep going forward. And I've been through this up-down cycle 6-7 times. Mm-hmm. And it's a challenge. You know, we seed the seeds of despair are sown in the best of times, and we set ourselves up for the challenges that do come. All, you know, we always hear that this time is different, but it's not. And we always revert back. We'll get through this too. It's a challenge. What works is just keeping our costs low, not spending too much money on fancy green paint, and you know, those commitments to payment schedules that are appreciating faster than what you can pay stuff is where it hurts.
Yeah, yeah. So it's what I hear you saying is it's the input costs. It's the cost of doing business that are the. It's the biggest challenge that needs to be managed.
Yeah, for us, I would say the rent. We predominantly rent a majority of our land.
Yeah.
And the rents are always slow to good come down and fast to go up.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest challenge. Equipment would be the next. This stuff is really taking a hit. When we go to the balance sheet, you know, at the end of the year, we got to mark this stuff down quite a bit. You know, it's pretty easy to mark it up 20, 21, 22 when there was a short supply. But now that we've had 50% depreciation in two-year-old corn heads, it's just crazy what this stuff has dropped.
Right. Right.
So that's gonna impact us.
Yep. Yep. Dennis, your thoughts on this, the biggest challenges?
Yeah, I think, you know, just looking at, you know, starting to see some input costs for next year, and, you know, anhydrous was higher than I'd hoped, but, you know, as I talked to my supplier, he said it was lower than he thought it was going to be. I don't know if that's a positive or a negative on my side, but it's, you know, anhydrous was plenty high, and you know, P&K's not really, you know, I don't think, I haven't seen those numbers exactly yet, but I don't think they're changing a terrible lot. And seed seems to me like I've heard it's, you know, going to remain fairly steady from last year, but, you know, like you said, you know, commodity prices are way down and things are staying steady. So that's going to make it a big challenge for this next year. Inputs and interest rates. You know, that's another big one too. If you do got money borrowed. So,
yeah. Is there any meat left on the bone to cut costs? I mean, we talk about it every year, Dennis, that you got to cut costs. You got to cut costs. Where is there any meat left to cut?
Yeah, that's a good question. The hard part is where you start looking to start cutting costs. Does it start cutting yield low dollar environment? You really need to have the yield, and you got to try to find a spot where you can cut costs and not going to impact yield. And like Steve said, one of those places a lot of times is equipment costs, but yeah, man, that really hurts hard to try to sell equipment or downsize equipment when it's lost this money, that's much dollar value in 2 years. And, you know, that doesn't always pay the bills then either. So I don't know, you know, try to get as lean as you can, but it's, like Steve said, it's a normal thing. So, I've been through it many times too. And
yeah,
you gotta just kind of, look for those little spots. So
Dennis, are you going to go into rent negotiations loaded with that kind of info and try to bring those rental rates down? I mean, of course you want rentals, your rental rates to come down, but is it an environment that you can make that happen?
I'm sitting pretty good on rental rates.
Most
of my rental rates are, when I would say they're variable rental rates, they have a base, a floor, and then a bonus. And so rental rates for me, aren't terrible. I can live with where they're at this point yet and kind of go forward. But I think, yeah, if you are that guy that's renting a lot, that is something that you got to go show them is your inputs and what you're doing and how it's affecting you.
Right. Steve, what about you? Rental rate negotiations on your priority list?
Yeah, it's always worth the conversation. Some will move, some won't. It's just the way it is. I look at it, for me, in this area, 36, 38% of gross dollars on corn is where the rent rate is. And I think we're going to have a little higher production this year, even with a lower price. It's not going to totally make up for it.
But
we're not that far out. So.
Gotcha. Okay, guys, we need to take a quick break. When we come back, what is filling up your think time? What do you see that needs to happen to move agriculture into a better time in the year ahead? We'll talk about that next with Stephen Dennis.
Retirement.
Oil investments involve a high degree of risk and actual results may vary.
Oil and natural gas keep going up as the Russia conflict escalates. Get in on the next major oil boom now and help the U.S. with your patriotic investment that can potentially pay you monthly income for up to 20 or more years. That's the sound of a producing oil well and the sound of a smart investment. If you're an SEC-accredited investor and have at least $25,000 liquid now, you can take advantage of Encore Energy's projects and a huge tax savings for this year. If you invest in oil and natural gas, you're allowed to write off nearly 100% of your investment in the first year. Goldman Sachs is projecting oil to go up to $100 a barrel, and natural gas is the fuel of the future and trading at record prices. Call 800-278-7455. Encore Energy is a major investor and experienced operator in its core area of operations. Call now and learn how to deduct 100% of your investment and create 20 or more years of potential monthly income. Call 800-278-7455. That's 800-278-7455.
We could try to explain what it feels like to get your work done on a John Deere. The way a Z-Track mower finishes in half the time you thought it would. Or how much easier it is to move mountains of soil with the 1 Series tractor. We could even go into detail about how it feels to tow up to 4,000 pounds behind a Gator XUV. But if you really want to know what it's like to run with us, you just have to get in the seat. Learn more at johndeere.com/get-in-the-seat or visit a dealer near you.
Is this house a good price compared to others in the area? Are prices going up or down? If I don't make an offer right this very moment, will I miss my chance? These are just some of the questions a home buyer might ask. And these are the sorts of questions an agent who is a realtor can help answer. Because realtors have the expertise, data, and access to specialty training to help you navigate the process of buying a home. They provide support, guidance, and have your back every step of the way. That's what realtors do, because that's who we are. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
La 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 la.
Some things shouldn't be flat. But with GHX, you can maximize your acres with one flat price. While other brands sell by the bag, we sell seed by the acre to maximize your yield and profit potential. Our custom seed recommendations combine extensive product characterization and agronomic expertise to get the right product, population, and placement, all for one flat price per acre. Learn how at ghxseed.com/connect.
The startup of another day. Caring for the land to make sure it's passed down for generations. Regenerative ag practices help build healthy soil, reduce erosion, and hold moisture. Now ADM will reward you for implementing cover crops and other conservation practices with incentives that could pay over $35 an acre. ADM appreciates all you do to protect your land and legacy, and we believe you should be rewarded for it. Visit ADMRegenerations.com to learn more.
When it comes to growing soybeans, you need an advantage. And with Citavo soybean seed, you get a big one. 3.4 bushels per acre big. It's a yield advantage made possible by BASF Genetics, proprietary germplasm, and industry-leading seed quality. Talk to your retailer today about staying ahead of the game with Citavo soybean seed. Distributed exclusively by BASF.
Want to get smarter and have some fun while you're at it? Introducing Unscripted and Grow Getters, two of agriculture's most entertaining and engaging podcasts. Hosted by U.S. Farm Report's Tyne Morgan and Ag Day's Clinton Griffiths, Unscripted is your chance to meet the personalities behind the personalities. And with heart and humor, Grow Getters with host Davis Michelson explores ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SavedByThisCan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The truth is hard to come by these days, unless you listen to AgriTalk. Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Flory. We are in the middle of this week's Farmer Forum with Steve Pitstick from Illinois, Dennis Bogards from Iowa. Dennis, let's start with you. What's filling up your think time?
Boy, I think Steve and I were just talking about, you know, you look at the past year and the past years before that, and every year is different. And I think my think time about farming a lot of times ends up being, you know, what did we do this year or to make it good or bad? And how can we improve that for next year? And, trying not to think too much about the economic side of it at this point yet, because there's a lot of things that can change and not get too wound up about it yet. But I think a lot of it's just looking at what we did this past year and seeing, you know, what we can do different.
Gotcha. Dennis, you said something earlier about, you know, you make too many cuts on the input side and then it starts costing you yield and you really can't do that. Could you start to cost yourself some yield if the returns per bushel makes sense?
Oh, I mean, you know, I suppose you could. It's, you know, it's, you got to kind of look at what you got, and you know, you don't want to spend a dollar and, you know, make 50 cents.
Right.
You know, so I think you got to look at those kind of things and just make sure that where you are spending the dollar that you're, you know, either breaking even or making some money on that dollar, you know. Yeah. I think that's a valid point. But, you know, I think in the long run a higher yield is going to be beneficial for the farmer as far as trying to year to year. Now, you know, a higher yield for everybody isn't always great for the overall world market necessarily, but you know, I don't think you can look at it. And I saw a discussion online here this summer about, do you spray fungicide on corn or not? And I'm like, well, yeah, you got to protect it somehow in these low prices to try to get a little bit better yield.
Yeah.
And fungicide has worked in this area. So, I think it's something we keep doing. So.
Yep. Okay. All right. Steve, what about you? What's filling up your think time?
Oh, there's all kinds of stuff. It's such a crazy world out here. We can think about anything at any given time. Mm-hmm. I think on the farming side, you know, I look back over my career, and there's been several times where we've had new technology, new whatever, that's given us a 10% boost, whether it was Roundup Ready or Auto Steer or whatever it might be. But those things are harder to come by now. So now I'm always looking for 10 things that I can do 1% better. And, you know, whether it's spraying or the chemicals that we use or the rates, you know, what can we do better? Just constantly improve the whole operation from that side. Big picture stuff, you know, looking at the elections, what way trade policies could go, what the continued, you know, biofuels, where that goes. Something else I'm not sure that we're looking at in the agricultural industry is the consumer's quick adoption of all these GLP drugs, the Ozempics, and what that could do for food demand, whether it's high fructose corn syrup, in the junk food side or in meat demand, as we get a lot of the population wanting to get on these drugs. So just, you know, big picture stuff looking at, not sure where it's going to go.
Interesting. Interesting. Dennis, Steve mentioned the biofuels, sustainable aviation fuel. I mean, this is an area that is creating some controversy in the state of Iowa because of the pipeline, the CO2 pipeline. What's your thoughts there?
Yeah, you know, it's just been interesting to watch, and you know, I try to keep an open mind about some of these things and look at it as a whole. And I haven't done enough research to know, because it hasn't, you know, it doesn't affect me as far as, you know, the pipeline's not coming through my ground. But, you know, you look at it, and I think there's some positive and negatives on both sides. And I think we got to try to preserve the biofuels that we can, and because that's been a huge impact and a huge positive for agriculture. And, you know, is that the right way or not? I look at pipelines, and, you know, guys get really wound up about them. And I know in our area there was a pipeline that came through, and there was a lot of guys that were super wound up. And then the next year there was a wind project, and they put up all kinds of wind turbines, and nobody said boo. And I just kind of think, I'm like, well, the pipeline goes underground. I get it that they dig up the dirt, but they also disturb a lot of dirt with these wind farms. So that was one I just didn't quite get. I'm like, well, all right. So, yeah. You know, why is the wind farm, nobody said anything, but the pipeline, everybody was wound up about. So I think there can be some positives to it. And, but I get the farmer side of it. When it's coming through your ground, you don't want it. So that's a tough one.
Yep. Yep. Steve, I didn't hear you guys mention Farm Bill. Is it a concern for you?
Not really. You know, there'll be an extension. They'll get it done. I believe the support prices, you know, reference prices, base updates, things like that, something will happen through the negotiating process. We'll get something moved forward. But I don't really go out and farm based on the Farm Bill anymore. Right. You know, when I started farming in the 80s, it was very critical what was in the Farm Bill and what we did, and how we did it. But anymore, I just... You know, it's like, it's not part of my decision of what I do.
Good. It's the way it ought to be, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I like the thought of crop insurance. We need that backstop. You know, while that's positive, it's also had some negative implications overall in the whole industry. So everything's not a win.
That's right. That's right. Well, you guys, thank you so much for making time for us on AgriTalk today. Really appreciate it. Steve, hope that crop turns out for you down there, or over there, I should say. Be safe this fall, okay?
Thanks, Chip. Good to be on.
You bet. Dennis, same to you. I hope the crop turns out, and be safe.
All right. You bet. Thank you.
All right. Steve Pitstick over in Illinois. Dennis Bogart's down in South Central Iowa. Thank you so much for listening this morning. Great conversations with Jim, and then with Steve and Dennis. Come back this afternoon. We've got Jim Emter from the Van On Company right here on AgriTalk.
I am Rosario Dawson. Cancer can be a challenging journey, one that no one should take on alone. And Stand Up to Cancer wants to make sure no one has to. We bring together the best scientists and doctors to accelerate research, leading to more effective treatments. With each new advancement, we're getting closer than ever to our mission of making every cancer patient cancer-free. To get there even faster, we rely on the support from individuals like you, so that through our combined efforts, more patients and their loved ones will see that even though cancer may interrupt the journey, it doesn't have to determine the destination. The fight against cancer never stops. Thankfully, new and promising treatments can help save lives now. Let's go further together. Find out how you can join the mission. Learn more at standuptocancer.org/AA.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that wasn't your fault, we have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions. They'll tell you if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-205-5350. So if you've been injured in an accident and think